Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever episode 183. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero.
What's up, Swags? How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
I feel like we're not quite in outer space without David.
Dave floated away. He needed to take a week off after his show last week on Fantasy Football Breakdown, doing the 15-minute breakdown, so that he still hasn't quite landed yet. But no, I think so. Dave's on vacation with some family. He'll be back. We gave him the week off. Fanero did. I didn't.
I think he needed a week off after a breakdown, like you said.
The paid vacation, pro bono.
Well, we can't go to outer space, but maybe we can hang out in the upper stratosphere together.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for this. Yeah, get a little one-on-one time with Feverish. Yeah. I haven't had this in a while. So we're going to do some landing spots and then some touts, some doubts. Fanero and I think, went into this a little bit differently. I'm curious how you went into this here, so throw it to you.
Yeah, so I went in a very familiar way. I did 32 videos last year for DFF, which I did rookie landing spots, and I based that.
Dude, that sounds so, like, so much now that you say it. Because yeah, I remember that. I watched them,
32 videos. I did a landing spot for every single team. And so I did, I used like three different factors. I did team need. So I would go to a reputable site. I think I used 44.com to kind of like tell me what they thought everyone's team needs were. And they usually give you like six positions, right? So team need, draft capital, because that's huge, right? So how many picks a team has. And then I mix in like a mock from Daniel Jeremiah. So I mix that all together. So like if a team need, for example, at wide receiver is like their fifth need, I'm not drafting one in the first round. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like sometimes, and we've mentioned,
spent some time.
Not as much as you think. I think when you look at it that way, it's just easier to know what a team needs versus what you think a team needs, right? Because we as fantasy football players, especially the ones that don't play IDP, ignore the entire other side of the ball.
Dude, even sometimes when I look at like some of the NFL mocks, I think to myself, like, are these guys playing fantasy football? Like, they want all these offensive guys to go in the first 10 picks? Like,
exactly.
Really? Like,
Yeah.
So I totally know what you're saying from, I get it. Yeah. And I try to take some of that into consideration and hit on a couple spots that made sense to me as well, mm-hmm. You know? So I get what you're saying. I don't think I went as in-depth as you. So,
well, yeah, I bet you anything, dude, that some of these predictions are going to still line up. There are some fairly obvious team needs and holes that we see the same players or players like those players going to those spots. So I bet, you know, if, let's say each of us have 10, and I think we do have somewhere in that range. If we get to them, we get to them. But I bet you one or two of them are actually in alignment.
Yeah,
just for that reason. Yeah,
yep.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. It could be two totally different processes, but we're still going to probably wind up having like similar predictions for one or two of these.
Yeah, and this is probably where we should tell people thanks for tuning into all those Rookie Fever player profiles and you heard the last one today from Dave, or yesterday. Yeah. It would have been Wednesday for you listeners.
It was such a happy and sad moment at the same time. I mean,
yeah.
It was a lot of work to do 30 profiles in the time that we did them, three every single week for 10 weeks straight since February. And it was also a lot of fun. So it's sad to
Got to know a lot of awesome people better.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad to be done it now. But
we've got some different ideas moving forward, and we learned a lot from this year to roll it out again next year.
And our audience has really grown. I mean, I see it on Twitter. I get a lot more reach out and feedback. And thank you for everyone who has reached out to me or Swags individually or the Spaceman, because I know he's come to me saying
absolutely that
quite a bit of people have said good things about either one of us. One of my favorite things was someone who reached out to me quite recently, 2 days ago, and mentioned that his favorite thing was how we all had our own style.
Yeah.
He really enjoyed getting to know each of us a little better by having our own shows so consistently. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool because it wasn't something I was thinking about at all. All I was ever trying to do is live up to you or live up to Dave, you know, like try to hold my own weight. I was never really looking at it from a listener standpoint and going, oh, it's probably kind of cool
to hear just one voice. But in a way you sort of were. And I don't mean to correct you, but just mm-hmm. to look at it deeper, in a way you sort of were listening to it, like, or as a listener, because like for me, speaking for myself, like I listen to you, I listen to Dave, and I kind of mentioned this, like shout out again to Dynasty Underdog, check those guys out. But I kind of mentioned on that show too, you know, like I listened to you guys and I'm just like, damn, like that was a cool idea or a nice twist or a nice way mm-hmm. to segue into this or that. Sure. And then I try to implicate it on my own shows and it would probably mess it up a little bit, quite honestly, because it didn't fit my style. And I didn't really know some of that until I tried it. So some of the things like worked for you that, or Dave, it didn't work for me.
Sure.
Or it just didn't feel natural to me. I mean, yep. sort of like, you know, like a team build in a weird way. Like you can have different styles and still come to a good conclusion at times. But so it was easier for me when I just got you guys out of my head a little bit and understood that you were shining in your own way and I couldn't duplicate that. And it was awesome. I think that we all became better hosts, maybe. I don't know if I did. I think that I might have got maybe even jealous of how good you and Dave were. And it was really awesome, like, for working with you for so long. Oh, man, sorry, guys. We'll get into the show. This I don't know where this should have fit into the show, but rewind a couple minutes if you're annoyed. But I do appreciate you all too, though. Like, I'm so happy that you guys have decided to choose Rookie Fever as your rookie destination, and we're gonna continue to do more. But just even like working with you so long, and kind of like watching you go outside of your comfort zone from the get-go on some of it, and then like to hear like the Mark Schofield show, that was honestly probably one of the best podcasts I've listened to. I don't know how long, you know, because I'm not always an avid listener, but that show, like, I mean, anybody that hasn't listened to it, or I mean, our listeners are probably not in their heads yes right now. That's like how convinced I am that show just kicked ass. And then I'm just kind of like, holy shit, like Finero's not going to want me to host this show anymore. And I'm happy to let you take the driver's seat anytime, but that would fuck with my pride. So
nah. you're right. We'll move on and get into these predictions, but you're too kind, and you're absolutely right about growth. I feel like I did get better at it with each one. I mean, even to the point where, dude, like you find virtually every guest for us on this show, and you do a great job. And it's not work, but it's stressful. It's a lot of back and forth. You're kind of asking, you feel like you're kind of asking for favors. And to be honest with you, I don't know whether I got lucky or whatnot, but I just absolutely loved every single guest I had on. And the Mark Schofield one, obviously, I mean, you gave me the idea to do the entire quarterback class. And I think because you did, I really made sure to nail it. I did not want to let you down. I did not want to let Mark Schofield down. I didn't know if we were going to cover every quarterback in our profile. So I thought I needed to kind of do that as well. And I wanted to do it where it wasn't an hour and a half or a 2 hour show. So that was my biggest challenge, is to try to do something. Cause you know,
as we go into an hour and a half show,
you ready for these predictions?
Absolutely, dude. I appreciate you, Finero.
Yeah, I appreciate
and,
you back.
And you as well, Dave. You're just like, you're appreciating yourself on vacation right now. So
yeah,
have fun, Dave. Let me hear some of your predictions.
All right, I'm gonna give you one where I really want your reaction, because I think this is gonna happen, guys. All right, this is gonna happen, and it's gonna rain on your parade. Okay,
mine or theirs?
Theirs.
I feel like there's this is gonna hurt.
There is a lot of Bateman love, and there's a lot of Terrace Marshall love.
Oh boy.
Okay, I really see one of these guys, one of these two guys, landing in Baltimore. And and that groan, my friend, is a groan that we are going to hear throughout Twitter, throughout the Dynasty community, when one of those two, I'm looking at landing spots, draft capital, I'm looking at this carefully, one of those two fit the prototype, and I would say Marshall Moore. Marshall really fits the prototype. Remember they were trying to go get Dez Bryant?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they want a Terrace Marshall on their team, and that's about where he's going in every mock. Now, is he going to Baltimore in every mock? No, but he's going in that area. Baltimore has a need in that area, and I know.
So you're saying about 27 overall?
Yes, and I'm very, very – and that it's going to be great draft capital for Marshall. Mm-hmm. Fantastic draft capital for Marshall. So it's a good and a bad thing, but you're going – that groan that you just – had, that's going to be the initial response. Do people come back around to it? Perhaps. But the initial response is going to be a drop in value for one of those two guys.
Yeah. So, man, you're right. I do hate that. if that's what you're looking for.
That's kind of what I'm looking for.
And we'll stick with Marshall, though.
Ooh.
And I have him falling to the third to Detroit Lions.
Well, that sounds and like being a homer pick.
Their second wide receiver in the draft, Finero.
Oh, they're going in the first round too, are they?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Ja'Marr Chase fell to us at 7.
I have
they didn't trade back.
I have two predictions for Detroit, and so, you're not gonna like either one of them.
Oh, that's mean of you.
It's not because of you. It's not because you're a fan.
So Detroit
it's because
picks,
of Detroit's
as of now,
team
without
needs.
Moving around, they have 7 overall, 41 yep. overall, and then in the third, 72. That's where I'm saying Marshall's going to fall, and some people are thinking he's going in the second. I'm saying this deep wide receiver class, he's going to fall to the third to my Detroit Lions, and we're taking Ja'Marr Chase at 7, which, you know I'm going to go crazy if that happens.
Yes, you will.
So we got my homer calls out of the way.
I think we have to segue to one of my Detroit
predictions. Yeah,
then
yeah.
I don't know why we should avoid it. All right, so Detroit is in a really, really good spot to trade down.
I agree with that too.
Detroit has several holes on both sides of the ball. I think their first round pick is going to be on defense. That is where a majority of their team needs lie. I think they trade back, and here's the really scary part, ladies and gentlemen. This is another groan. I think they're going to trade back with New England, and New England's going to pick Justin Fields.
I could see that.
I think whether it happens or not is totally up to the Pats. I think it's totally doable looking at the draft capital. I think Detroit just traded for Goff. I think all this talk about them drafting a quarterback will not happen. I think the wide receiver is a luxury pick that that has all the needs that they have. They can get a wide receiver, like you said, Marshall in the third.
A good
fine.
Point.
They do not need to. That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely do not see that.
I hear you.
So I see them going down to the 15 pick and picking a corner or a linebacker. They have Jalen Phillips out there, Micah Parsons. These are big names in the first round. I think they come down that way. They already have an extra first next year. I think they start rebuilding Miami style, starting with this move down to 15.
Yeah. So you're not even giving me a wide receiver?
Not in round one. But you know
maybe
what, dude?
Round
like
two there?
Yeah, bro. I think the question is like what, cuz I'm not I don't have that trade chart, so I don't know what New England truly has to do. I know that they have enough capital to make it happen. I also know I'm not the only person that believes this. This has also been predicted by at least one other analyst, and I'm talking about NFL, like not in Twitter. So this is let's call this a borrowed idea. This is something I saw. This is something that lines up with the picks. This is something that lines up with team needs. This makes a lot of sense. And also, you know what else makes a lot of freaking sense? New England pulling that off. I mean, yeah. Is that not something that New England would pull off?
Yeah.
Is get Justin Fields. That is something that they would absolutely pull off. Not to mention, Justin Fields, it seems like that's kind of where Belichick wants to go with the whole Cam Newton signing. They want an athletic,
they need a quarterback, dual too.
Threat quarterback. They don't want a statue. I think he wants a Justin Fields. And I think he's one of those guys that can make that shit happen. And honestly, dude, as much as you think you don't like that, I think that's a great move for Detroit.
No, I don't think it's a bad move. And especially, I think that, to your point, like, we could probably still get a wide receiver in the second. I have Marshall falling to us in the third, which is kind of maybe unlikely. But I think that it's feasible, even that if Marshall's not the guy, we could still get a wide receiver in the third. We've got a lot of picks from other trades we've made. You know, I mean, we've got two third rounders, a 72 and the 101. So one's early, one's late. Yeah. So, but only six picks in the draft. And like you said, they've got some needs to take care of. So
they really do.
Yeah. With that said, dude, I'm flying to the Jets and I'm giving them Travis Etienne.
Yeah. Second I've seen round that. Pick. Yep. I've seen that. That's the sweet spot. For sure. We have a lot of teams up that area. Miami's up there. I have to think, but that's absolutely a team for honestly, all three running backs could be available up in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of our predictions that will line up, and I think it's something that just is going to happen, which I'll just segue to right now because it's easy. I think Najee Harris goes to Pittsburgh.
Yep, I have that as well.
Yeah, I figured that would be one we both have. I think Najee Harris goes to Pittsburgh. He seems to be built and meant for that role. I think that is just his pass catching ability. The fact that Connor's moved on, it is a major team need for this Pittsburgh Steeler team. So it just aligns. They want to take the cream of the crop. They don't want to take a chance. If they don't pull one here, they're not going to get one of the top three, and now they have a whole nother problem on their hands. So I think they're going to be forced to do this, even if they do have other needs, and they do. I think this is something they have to do, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And again, this is not something that I think surprises anybody listening.
Yeah, I have Harris to the Steelers as well.
Yeah.
So I've got one that maybe I'll get a little pushback from you. Javonte Williams to Buffalo.
Funny, I have a Buffalo prediction as well.
We did not get together on this at all. Seen each other's notes this week.
And it is a running back. I just don't have them picking a running back as early as you do.
I mean, I think if they're going to, dude, I think they need to go all in. I want to say that. Like, I think they need to make sure it's an upgrade from Moss and Singletary if they're going to make it happen, you know?
And I agree with you. But I could just totally see them not doing that, right?
Right, yeah.
It's going to be one of those things where you're like, really, man, you're going to spend that draft capital, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't have just gone one more step up and gotten a better back? I think they go with either Michael Carter or Kenny Gainwell. Mm. And that's going to be with their 62nd overall pick or their 93rd
overall. Do you have a preferred one of those two? Even like in your, after doing all these Rookie Fever player profiles?
The reason I put those two there is because they're a little, in my mind, they're similar backs.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Gainwell has more of the Singletary type outlook for me, like the better pass catcher of the two. And Carter isn't Zach Moss, but I think what's going to happen, like, it just seems like the perfect disaster that one of those two backs winds up over there, because I don't feel like any of us feel that strongly about Carter or Gainwell. Now, being said, we're going to talk about these guys a little later when we get to Touts and Doubts. But for me, I would much rather your prediction for the Buffalo Bills. Then it's very, very clear. Here?
Oh, yeah. Yours was the two guys. I get that.
Yeah. Yours would make it very, very clear on, I mean, yes, of course, Williams would be a great fit. A great fit. I just don't know if they're going to invest that kind of draft capital. They still have those other two backs. I mean, Zach Moss was just drafted the last year. So they're kind of, you know, around. So I could see them just backing off of the higher draft capital a tad and picking up like a Gainwell or even a Carter in the third round.
Yeah.
I like your back much better. I love Javonte Williams.
Yeah, that would be a nice landing spot.
It'd be fantastic for him, I think. I mean, you would hear, I mean, I hear the narratives already. It's like any back in Buffalo can't, you know, is capped because of the quarterback and how much he runs the ball and how much he runs it in, even on the goal line. You know, I can hear that already, but he's by far, you know, it doesn't, it, I don't even need to see him play in an NFL game. He's better than those two backs combined.
Yeah. So I felt like, it's not that I don't like Darnell Mooney, but I think maybe the Bears have some room for a wide receiver. And I gave them Kadarius Toney in the third, falling a little bit later in the NFL draft again than people are expecting him to.
Hmm. What round was that again?
The third, pick the 83.
Third. Yeah, I mean, Kadarius is a really tough one for me. That's why he's not part of my predictions. He's somebody that just doesn't make sense on paper for me. I don't understand, with as many wide receivers that there are in this class, why he's projected so high. I'm not trying, like, even in our
kind
rookie
gadgety
mock,
maybe.
Well, just in our rookie mock just last week, I get it. You know, I don't think he should be in the third round of rookie mocks. That's just too late. But I also don't understand and can't get with why he's a first round NFL pick.
Right.
Like, I know I've heard all the arguments. Like, it's not like I don't know what they are. I get it. And in some cases, we all have to understand that what the NFL needs and what our fantasy team needs are two totally different things, right? So if he's versatile, if he can play on special teams, if he's fast, all those things really help an NFL team, especially a particular NFL team that already has a possession wide receiver, that already has a big body wide receiver, right? It's another tool in their toolkit that they need to complete their team. We just want a wide receiver with the most targets, or the wide receiver with the most red zone looks, or the, you know, we play the game very differently than coaches and GMs. I get that, but for me, that's why I think there's a disconnect. And I think you saying that he's in the third round, that's kind of how fantasy people feel.
Right,
that that's where he should be. But with him probably not getting that late of a pick, and him going to an NFL team earlier, it's just going to be about landing spots for me. I mean, I won't know how I feel about him.
Definitely, dude. And
until
so
he goes
much
somewhere.
Of this is going to change in a week next. Yeah, definitely.
But there's some guys, Swag, seriously, there's some guys where I feel very confident regardless of landing spot. He's just not one of them.
Yeah. And even some of them, you know, like, and I know no players the same are going to be successful, but some of these, especially for the wide receivers, some of them you can tell they need a wide receiver. You just don't know exactly who it's going to be.
Right, right.
Who's your next prediction?
It's a double prediction. So a lot of people have Ja'Marr Chase going to the Bengals. I've been saying for quite a while that feels lazy to me because they're matching Chase up with Burrow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say that the Bengals will do the right thing and draft Penei Sewell. That's what they should absolutely do. The number one offensive tackle in this draft should be drafted in the Bengals spot. But my other prediction is that Pitts goes to the Falcons at 4. And the narratives there are just through the roof. I mean, we know what Hooper did as a tight end and how many targets he got. And so Kyle Pitts, if he gets drafted by the Falcons at 4, will be the highest drafted tight end of all time.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Of all time.
And
I went all
feasible.
The way back single-handedly to make sure that was right before I said it on this podcast. And the only – there's Vernon Davis and Kellen Winslow were picked with the 6th overall pick in 2004 and 2006. I went all the way back to 74.
Wow.
But that would be cool. I think it's also just a great matchup. And I mean, I think it makes sense for the Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah. They could definitely use a tight end.
Either that or trade back.
That would be interesting too. I mean, because like you said, even with the Patriots, if they get hungry enough and other teams aren't wiggling, they could possibly try to move up and get that number 4 spot too.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons know where they are. They understand their position, and I think they know their choices.
Yep.
So I think a lot of the groundwork has probably already been done if they are interested in making that pick.
I've got Jaylen Waddle beginning to replace Mike Williams and Keenan Allen in the mid-second, pick 47 overall. I know it's not the hugest like need or concern they have, but I'm just not all in on Mike Williams. And even like I would feel like a hypocrite, but like even to go back to what we were just talking about. Like, I feel like it would be ridiculous for the Bengals to draft a wide receiver at 7 overall when they have Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're talking, like, mid-second now. Jalen Waddle makes sense to me there with Justin Herbert.
Well, I happened to mention that landing spot in my player profile with Travis May.
Love it.
Yeah, so I either had seen it somewhere or had dreamt it and
woke
up and wanted to talk about
it. Maybe you put it in my head, like, somehow.
It's a possibility. Like, I'm pretty sure you listened to my profile.
Yeah, I've listened to all of our profiles. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was looking for a landing spot for Waddle that would increase his already high draft stock or his draft. A lot of people have him anywhere between their 2. I've seen him as high as their wide receiver 2 and maybe in their wide receiver 5 or 6 area. So he's still in that, like, that second tier. And I was curious if I threw that particular scenario out with him and Herbert.
I love it.
Would that make him, you know, jump up to like a 2 or 3 in this class?
Oh, dude, you know how stupid I am. That, like, just with my Herbert love, it would be so hard for me to not try to acquire that stack.
Oh, I know.
You would have to, like, really try to keep me at ease here.
Yeah. And Travis, the first thing he said, dude, was there's a whole lot of targets that, you know, between, you know, Keenan Allen. And I thought about it, and I hear him. Like, I get it. But, like, what you said, you know, I mean, it's going to take a little while for Waddle to be the next Keenan Allen.
Yep.
And I'm not even saying he's that kind of player. I just meant that kind of target volume to be given to Waddle.
And Mike Williams is just kind of what he is at this point.
That's where I'm at, dude. For me, I mean, like, Waddle could compete for Mike Williams' spot.
Yep.
I mean, how great would Williams be as a 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I think
good point.
It could help Williams to draw that kind of coverage instead. And then who would that really help? Your boy Herbert.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to give Herbert a hand, give him that speedy guy.
Yeah, I love it, Finero. What you got for me?
I have the Colts giving up, or at the very least, backing up their second rounder, Paris Campbell, who doesn't seem to be able to stay on the field, with a Rashad Bateman.
Okay.
I think Rashad Bateman fits really, really well there, and I think it's...
Concerns about Campbell?
Do I have concerns?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the same current concerns I think the Colts have.
Yeah.
The fact that everywhere I look has a wide receiver as a top 3 need for the Colts, mm-hmm. means that there's more than me and anybody who has Paris Campbell concerned about Paris Campbell. I mean, right. Typically at
same
this
with Hilton,
point,
even with the contract, same with Hilton, like he's...
Oh, yeah, 1 year deal. Yep. Yeah. And Hilton isn't Bateman. They're two totally different guys. I think Bateman is a hedge bet on Paris Campbell. I mean, I seriously could see them just completely walking away from Campbell if he can't stay healthy this season, and I would too.
So,
I'm a Paris Campbell fan.
First round here or second round for the Colts?
That's a great
pick. 21 overall or pick 54?
No, it would have to be 54. Yeah, I don't think it's 21.
Mm-hmm. I don't hate it, dude. You might not like my next one though.
Does it involve the Giants?
It doesn't.
Okay, what's up?
None of mine do now that...
None of mine do.
Now that I'm looking at it. So,
I'm very superstitious when it comes to my Giants.
All right, so this one to me just kind of makes sense. I know any of our rookie fever, like our longtime listeners, are probably going to be like, oh, you would like have to throw some shade on our boy Antonio Gibson. But I'm putting Trey Sermon... to Washington with one of those third round picks.
I don't hate that. I think that's a great mix for those two backs. That's a very GM type move on your part. I think they complement each other very well. Trey Sermon did not catch the ball a lot in college. To be honest, Trey Sermon didn't have a lot of college opportunity to do so. He was hurt a lot in college, which is my biggest concern about Trey Sermon. But big is a good word for him. He's good size.
Yep.
And without the hands, at least being on tape anywhere where I know he has them, I'm gonna assume he doesn't have great hands, or at least experience where Gibson does. I really like that pairing, dude. And honestly, like, I don't know that it puts a bomb on Gibson. Really, not initially. Sure. I'm not freaking yet.
Yeah. And you're sure he'll still be viable.
Yeah, I'm not freaking yet because Sermon still has a lot to prove. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to handle a bigger workload. He's the biggest workload he's ever had is 164 carries 2 years ago. And besides that, he's never been over 100. He had a great freshman year. That's nice to see.
I mean, there were even times last year where he didn't have a ton of work, and yeah, he just did well with what he had, you know? So he's going to have a job.
Did very well for what he had, because Trey Sermon is one of my touts later on.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. I was talking about Gibson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On that, too. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, but Gibson is... Gibson will be affected. There's no doubt about that. If they draft any running back, he's going to be affected. But I wonder if he truly will be.
They were giving McKissick the ball last year.
Yeah, absolutely, a ton.
I think you get somebody like Trey Sermon in there, and you could like Gibson and Sermon a lot.
I agree 100%. I really like that pick, dude. I like that a lot.
Thanks, man. I nailed one.
So I have a luxury pick that. A lot of people are just going to go, bleh.
Luxury pick.
Yeah, so we all agree that the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 32 can afford. They have a pretty good team, pretty good defense, a luxury pick. They have still yet to re-sign Antonio Brown. There is a wide receiver right in this area that will be available that is totally different than Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And he has become a fantasy darling. And that's Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a luxury pick at 32 would aggravate a lot of people that are just sick and tired of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Because Elijah Moore is just a pass-catching machine. He is the perfect complement to Mike Evans. He's a cross between we'll call it a possession, slot receiver and Chris Godwin. I mean, oh my God, Evans and Godwin on the outside, Elijah Moore in the middle. That is scary, really scary. And an upgrade at this point over Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Man, the Bucks have 8 picks.
Yeah, dude.
I'm kind of surprised by that. And for signing everybody that they've brought back, like you said, with the exception of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, they did a phenomenal job at that.
So mine, there's a team that I feel like pretty much needs everything in an NFL team could possibly need, including possibly a quarterback. But I'm going to say that Tyrod Taylor needs somebody to throw the ball to besides Brandon Cooks.
Tyrod Taylor.
And that person is going to be Tamarion Terry, in the third, maybe fourth round.
Okay, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's another thing they don't have. Not only do they not have players, but they don't have picks. Their first picks comes in pick 67 in the third round. Then they pick fourth. They have 8 picks, but, I mean, dude, they don't have anything early. They need a wide receiver on that team. They need something, man. I mean, they need everything. You look at that team's depth chart, dude, just for fun. You want to just have a quick laugh and like you're like, huh, who's going to lose their job on this team? Nobody, because they don't have anybody to lose their job. Like,
that's a good one. I don't hate that a bit. And honestly, dude, like if it's not Terry, it's probably another wide receiver. So, I hear you. I like the Terry pick, though. It makes sense. I just wish they had a quarterback. But speaking of quarterbacks, I think Broncos stick with Locke. I know
What That's a great way prediction. To end the show.
It's my prediction.
Or the segment.
I think the Broncos have too many team needs. Corner, linebacker, offensive line. I don't think the Broncos can afford. Now, that doesn't mean they won't draft one in the fourth round. That's a possibility. But they are going to stick with Locke. In other words, they bring a dude in, but it's not going to be in the first round. That's my prediction for them.
Man, so this is never planned. Well, sometimes things are. This is not planned. But my last one, Finero, is seriously whoever falls to the Broncos, Trey Lance or Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you're not the only one. A lot of people have the Broncos making a move like that. I think the Broncos want to. I think there's going to be teams more aggressively trying to move up in front of them. I think that's going to be the difference. That's going to be the difference to me. We already talked about both the Falcons moving down. We talked about Detroit moving down. And we have quarterback needy teams right within reach to go up there and grab and take away any opportunity that the Broncos would have anyway. Now, can the Broncos move up? Sure. But that's what I just don't think they're going to have the balls to do. I think they just have too many other needs where there's other teams I think can afford to do that. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it's not even an afford thing. I think for New England, honestly, look at that division. Look at the quarterbacks that are now in freaking New England's division.
Sure.
New England is greatly behind them all of a sudden.
Yeah. And I mean, something that teams should also learn, and we're still yet to see how this all shakes out, but you could get players like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz on your NFL teams relatively cheap this year. Mm-hmm. If you were, I mean, and the Broncos missed out on those opportunities while they were trying to upgrade to Watson instead. And they missed out on some of those lesser quarterbacks that probably would have still been a quarterback upgrade. See, so like if Gardner were to be traded to the Broncos, is that a quarterback competition worth talking about?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why everyone has Denver picking a quarterback, right? Because the Drew Lock experiment is over in a lot of people's minds. I don't think it is in Broncos.
I don't think Elway wants it to be over.
Yeah, and not just yet. Now, again, though, like sometimes it doesn't matter. Like the Atlanta Falcons aren't ready to move on from Matt Ryan, but sure. it's inevitable. And
he's
where
good.
And right, he's good. When are they going to be this early in the draft again?
Yeah,
I mean sometimes that just happens for that reason. So it's not about when you're ready. It's about an opportunity that you have that, and you're going to experience that in your rookie draft too. You might have like a dynasty team that's a running back away. You know, you're just that's just one thing that you have to do, and then you have to make the decision on reaching for that running back three or pulling Jamar Chase. You know, I mean, like that's
NFL teams. Can I take this a different direction?
Yeah.
What is your comfort level on trying to acquire Drew Lock in a Superflex Dynasty League?
I'm not comfortable at all.
No.
It's not a target at all. No.
And I'm kind of the same.
And he's never been, honestly. I've never, you know, even last year when people were excited about him, that wasn't me either.
I can't sell him. I have a share. Somebody sent me an offer the other day for, it was a 304 or a 305. And I'm not usually one to like comment back in trades, but I just kind of replied back, bro, and rejected it.
Yeah.
And then he sent another one for the 204 or 205, same thing. And I couldn't quite do it. But now I'm kind of like, man, should I have? Like, if Drew Lock keeps that job, I want Drew Lock. If Drew Lock doesn't keep that job, I want that damn pick.
That was going to be my question. So, like, that's exactly where I was about to head. I'm like, take my scenario where they don't draft one. They draft one in the fourth round. Right. Now, all of a sudden, you want to keep them, right?
Yeah. You're a week away from Drew Lock either, like, gaining value or significantly losing value.
We are a week away from several players having that problem.
Yep.
And it's not just quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There are a slew of running backs out there waiting. Your Miles Gaskins, your Chase Edmonds, there's a lot of running backs out there that are waiting for their fate to be sealed.
Yep.
You ready for some touts?
I am, man. I'm ready. Curious who you went with for this too.
So I have a lot of running backs in my touts. I have two running backs and I have one wide receiver. What do you want first?
Let's go running back, wide receiver, running back for you.
That makes sense. So I went with a small school running back that is starting to slowly creep up my running back late list. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But Elijah Mitchell out of Louisiana. His metrics absolutely jump off the page. He ran a sub 4.4 on his pro day. Now, these pro days are a little padded, but so what? Let's say he runs a 4.45 then. That's fantastic. He's big enough, 5'10", 202 pounds. I'm starting to get really turned on, honestly. I know you're not much of an analytic person, and neither am I. But I was just looking at the correlation on the burst score for these guys, because you always want these running backs to be fast. And the reality is a lot of them aren't fast. Kareem Hunt wasn't fast. Jacobs, not fast. James Robinson, not fast. We're talking about borderline slow, these three running backs were. I'm starting to really, really start to tune in on this burst score, and particularly when it's over 80%. He had an 88th percentile burst score. And he also just matches it on tape. He looks like that on tape. He looks very, very quick. So he's strong. He seems to know where he's going before he even has the ball. Like, he just has that kind of vision where it's like the ball is like getting into his hands and he's already either changing direction as it's getting there or literally like jump cutting. I could paint a picture for you, and I will paint a picture for you and see what this does for you, for Elijah Mitchell. Let's say he's picked in the fourth or fifth round to the Bengals. Not a particularly sexy spot with Mixon there.
Mm-hmm.
But Mixon has actually been frustrating for fantasy owners for 2 years now. And probably means he's been a little bit of a challenge for the Bengals as well. Not to mention
They
don't have Geo. So he's immediate. For my mind, he'd be immediate replacement for that. So that's why they would draft one. So I do think they're going to draft one in this area. But if it was Elijah Mitchell, he has the skill set to be more than a complimentary back. So I could see if he was to succeed in the Bernard, I could see them also having like a hope that maybe they could let Mixon go before having to give him money. And that would be as soon as next year, dude. They can get out of that contract after this year. So I could see, I think the Bengals are drafting a running back. Don't get me wrong. I think that's absolutely happening. And I think it's happening in this area. I don't think they're going to do it on day one or day two. I don't think that's happening. It's going to be the fourth round, fifth round. And honestly, this is kind of what I'm doing in my rookie draft as well. I'm staying away from the Kenny Gainwells. I'm staying away from all those guys that, you know, Michael Carter.
Same, I think.
And what I'm looking at is that next level, and Elijah Mitchell's in that group. These are running backs I can get now in the third round when all the good wide receivers are gone, and I'm looking like other ways, like tight end. I'm like, you know what? Third round and Elijah Mitchell. You know what? I could see doing that, and that still would make you okay with your rookie resolutions.
Sure,
you're allowed to pick a running back in the third round.
Yeah, flag. It's a little different. Yeah,
you're allowed.
I mean, those darts you're throwing in the third are different than
some of
the and the people that are available for you obviously are way different than what you can get in the second. I'm gonna go right off that. Like, you bounced it to me pretty good, but so I'm gonna mention a tout that is one player. The reason I'm mentioning him. That I think could maybe hurt that rookie resolution a little bit for me.
Ooh,
and maybe somebody that I could see with the right landing spot, me taking in the second round of a rookie draft, mid to late. And we've talked about him enough today, so we don't need to go too far into this, but Trey Sermon is somebody that I'm kind of touting that I could see myself maybe being like, damn it, he did land in Washington. And everything I said last year about Antonio Gibson, and you know how I am, dude.
Yeah, that would reinforce all of your feelings up to this point.
And I know that's just one landing spot, but I think there's a few that, like, for Trey Sermon, you could kind of, and depending on like draft capital as well, because I think that is important until you've seen the guys play. But Trey Sermon, somebody that I could see changing my rookie resolution a little bit.
You know what Trey Sermon changes for me?
Nothing.
The fact that I no longer have three touts because Trey Sermon was third tout.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
So what do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. So the fun thing about, and I kind of alluded to this, like you said, we talked about him a little earlier, is he's a bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that doesn't matter as much as we think it does with backs. I really don't. I think he's just honestly just he's a good, solid runner with good vision, power, burst, and agility. And I really think the biggest concern for me is that body of work that I told you about. He doesn't have one full season. He hasn't played a full season in 4 years. He transferred from Oklahoma to Ohio State. That was concerning because he wasn't getting enough playing time. There's concerns. But for me, like, how about this? Did you know Trey Sermon broke the Ohio State all-time single rushing record set by Eddie George and ran for 331 yards in one game on 29 carries?
I did not know that. I wish that some way you would have made it some kind of trivia question. You probably still could, and
you
I won't
trivia.
Remember all of that.
You hate trivia.
I don't hate trivia.
I mean, he actually finished last season right before again getting hurt in the before the championship game. He had a 4-game stretch there that was ungodly, and it was when he was given the ball over 20 times. He's never really had that role, which is concerning. You know, I mean, it is. It's just concerning, and it needs to be concerning. But, you know, it's the same. This whole group is the same for me, dude. This whole group. You can put like freaking 10 backs in this group, and Trey Sermon. For me, right now, is my RB7 in the right landing spot. He could be RB4. for me.
Oh, wow.
He could be that hot. Wow. Yeah. And honestly, I could say that.
Know, I get it.
I could say that about Chuba.
Yeah, with this draft class, I get that, dude. Yeah, I do.
But I will not have those guys that are already earmarked for 4, 5, and 6. Your Carters, your I'm not going to get them. They're going to be too high for me. I'm not gonna have Kenny Gainwell anywhere. Is it Kenny or Kenneth? I've heard both. I want to know what it is. Call the guy up. Tweet at him. Is it Kenny or Kenneth?
I have Kenneth down.
All right.
But all right. I think both are okay.
I'm going to go with Kenneth.
So I'll go. So it's kind of like you went next because you said your next guy. So just to kind of keep the order going here.
Yeah.
I have one. So I have somebody that hasn't been mentioned on our show. And then I have somebody that we've talked about maybe
so
a
help me
too
God,
much.
If you pick another one.
Nope. Well, I know. Okay. So my other one tout is Tamari and Terry, who we've already talked about a little bit. Okay. And he's somebody that Felix Sharp really turned me on to. Started watching some of that tape a little bit after Felix pushed him in front of me. And he's somebody that, like, really I could see being that guy that's after landing spots you kind of like in the late second, early third.
Yeah.
That area there, you know, like, I'm not trying to pump it too much, but I could see him being somebody that's on a lot of my teams, honestly.
He's got I'm looking at my ADP forum, all these mocks I've been doing, 302.
Yeah, so I could see, I think he'll be on a lot of my teams.
Wow, that's funny. I'm looking at ADP right now, and my guy, my tout, is one right above him at 301, and that's Seth Williams.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I have Seth Williams as my final tout of the evening. So for me, I just think he's going too late. He's going in the third round of most rookie mocks, and I think he belongs a little closer to the second round. He has a ton of upside because he is that prototypical wide receiver, 6'3", 213 pounds. Like, that's your guy, right? Like, that's out of Auburn, so a good conference, and he's fast. He's just a yak extortionist. I mean, this guy he's exciting. This is the guy I told you in the mock that I want the Giants to draft. This is the back I want the Giants to draft in the third round. The wide receiver, Seth Williams, in the third round to the Giants. So now you got a prediction mixed in.
No, John Ross love, dude.
No.
He's like, no, I'm not even going to humor you.
No, I forget about players that the NFL has already forgotten about.
The Giants didn't, dude.
Yeah, well, they're taking a chance. I don't think he even makes the team.
The Giants are like, come on over, Corey Coleman.
I guarantee he doesn't make the team if the Giants draft a wide receiver in the first round, which I don't see. I've said
over. Oh, I agree, dude. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I'm not a John Ross guy. I never was. So my last tout is Pat Freiermuth.
Oh, I love it.
I really am excited. I feel like Fanero is going to have him in a few gardens. I'm excited to see where this guy lands and watch him grow. I'm excited to be patient with him, as we should be with any tight end. I would love to see him in, I hate to do this again, but Buffalo.
I have him going to Carolina.
I would love to see him in Carolina. I hate what you just did to some of my Ian Thomas shares, but I get it at this point as well.
Yep.
I would love to see him in Carolina, dude. I love that at all. I could see myself owning more Pat Freiermuth, and I'll go right into my doubts. Listen to my verbiage on this, though. I doubt that I will own any Kyle Pitts with the draft capital being put into him in our rookie drafts. It's not that I don't like him. It's not that I don't want him on my teams. I just don't think this is going to be the year that I acquire Kyle Pitts. So I doubt that I will own him. I think that we've put him on a pedestal, which he deserves. I think he's going to have a bright future, but I think we are forgetting how frustrating this position can be and how much time it really does take. I alluded to the Fanero garden already a little bit. I think that Kyle Pitts can have success in year one, but I don't know if it's the kind of success that's going to make every fantasy consumer happy. Like, I'm happy at this point. Like, if I have Kyle Pitts, give me Hockenson plus, quite honestly, at this point, like, because it feels like I can already do that.
Yeah.
And
no, you can.
So
you can.
It's not that I don't like Kyle Pitts. I doubt that I'm going to have him on any of my teams.
Tight end premium, where does he go?
Man, I've heard him from anywhere from like the 101 area to 108. And for me, like even in a tight end premium, like at that point, like, dude, I'm just going to be fine going to get Gesicki a lot cheaper and building my team a little differently. It's not that I don't want Pitts. It's not that I don't believe in him. I just think this year one price is outrageous. Not NFL draft capital. I don't hear what you did with our landing spots, but for the for fantasy and like getting acclimated and everything, he's a big body man. I mean, he might even just be a wide receiver, then your tight end premium's kicked out the door anyway. But but I'm telling you, I just doubt that I'll have any of him, and it's not something I'm advising people to do. I know that I can't stop this train. I believe in the train. I just don't believe in, and this is Superflex I'm talking about. I don't believe in taking him that early in Superflex, especially without knowing our landing spots.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to draft any player at their ceiling, but you know, I've seen people draft a player at their ceiling and immediately flip them too.
Sure.
Because honestly,
but I still don't own him at that point.
Yeah, it's a really good
you
point.
You know what
but
I mean?
Maybe,
even like I said, like I'll happily move him for Hockenson plus.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's part of your move, you could, in theory, it's tough. I mean, in Superflex, it's a really good point. I mean, there's five quarterbacks that all should go before Kyle Pitts.
And, you know, to me, like, never draft or trade to trade, but always be willing to trade. Sure. So I don't know if I want to trade Kyle Pitts and just assuming that I can go get Hockenson plus and then somebody like me has Hockenson and they're like, no freaking way, dude. Like, get that Twitter talk out of here.
Right. So speaking of Superflex, I have...
Finero just flexed when he did that. Like, big muscles.
Yeah, huge. Kyle Trask is the consensus RB6 in this class. And
QB?
Usually Kellen Mond after that. I just have doubts that he belongs there. He isn't mobile, particularly. Doesn't have a big arm. He struggles to throw on the run, which is a major problem in the NFL if you can't do that. Not very accurate on short, quick throws either. Like when he has to rush it, that's when he becomes inaccurate. That's when his actual accuracy goes down. And that's something, again, is going to be really tough for him to adjust if he's having those kind of problems in college in the NFL. Once he slows down his motion and he has time, he's pretty accurate. But I'm just concerned how he's going to adjust to the NFL.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a guy that's rising up the charts for me in Superflex that I can get after you draft Kyle Trask and that Mark Schofield and I spoke a little bit about is actually David Mills.
Okay.
David Mills, and in particular, in a lot of my mocks, is starting to creep up. I've seen David Mills go in front of Trask a couple times. It's still rare. It seems like the rubber stamp easy thing is, or the chalk is, Trask is the next one. I'm in the third round, and I don't like anybody down here, so give me Kyle Trask. I just would take a closer look at Kyle Trask and see if you still feel the same way. Don't just assume that he is the QB6. I'm not sure he is. And honestly, this is all before the NFL draft. I think a cluster, all three of those guys could go in the same exact round. So you might not be given any clarity unless you like the team that they're on.
And you know, and like I kind of so I agree with you here, but then there's also this part of me that it's kind of like after QB5, I don't even know how much I'm interested in.
Yeah, that's
the
possibility.
Other quarterbacks,
sure.
You know, and maybe one hits a landing spot where, like,
I was going to
say,
Vikings
draft somebody, and I have Kirk Cousins on a team, and you know that this guy is going to be the next man up. If Cousins gets hurt, then
can I pique your interest and give you a scenario? How about David Mills drafted the end of the second on the bench with Tom Brady?
A little early on the bench.
On the bench with Tom Brady. Is there any interest in the late third round of your rookie draft now for him?
No. It doesn't make me more interested.
You're not there.
No. But it's not that I mind it. Like, I'm not mad at it. I'm probably, like, even with you.
But it didn't move the needle.
No, yeah. As far as, like, that 6th, 7th, 8th QB, like, I don't think those are the kind of players we rebuild around in our dynasty leagues, you know. I'm not saying none of them will get an opportunity. I'm not saying somebody like Gardner Minshew never comes around again. I'm not saying that. But like, t- to think that like all of a sudden six quarterbacks have a starting job in the NFL from a rookie draft in 2021. Yeah. It's just a pipe dream, you know?
It sure the hell is. I do think, with that all being said, I think I'm comfortable saying that this class, as much as we like to call it the wide receiver class, is going to be known as the quarterback class.
Yeah, very well could be. And maybe even tight end.
Yeah, I really feel that way. I think this is a very strong quarterback class, and I think four out of the top five are going to hit, and I think that's extraordinary.
Changes
and
the landscape a lot in the NFL.
It changes the landscape a lot, and I think some of those players we're talking about, those four or five, if they truly hit, their ceilings are enormous if they hit. Enormous ceiling.
I'm going to get my easy doubt out of the way.
Okay.
Because the last one, like, I'm probably going to make Rookie Fever Nation mad. Kenneth Gainwell. We've kind of already talked about it.
That's also mine.
Nice. So I even felt bad still bringing it up because we've kind of brought it up with our touts a little bit here.
That's why I've been waiting to bring him up. Because you know, I feel like we talked a lot.
Yep, with no landing spots and whatnot. Yep. Like I'm really sticking to my rookie resolutions here. And I feel like we want to hype some of the later running backs more than they should be, even though we knew it wasn't going to be a strong running back class. And I don't know, you know, we want to find new landing spots for even me here, you know, talking Trey Sermon, because I want the grass to be greener on the other side with Antonio Gibson, but we just don't know. And Kenneth Gainwell, I don't know, maybe something changes for me after landing spots, but
I don't think so, because he's going to just obliterate your rookie resolution, because Katie Flower, in our very first player profile with Chuba Hubbard, I asked every single person that guested with me on a profile two questions at the end of the show that had nothing to do with the player that we were talking about. One was somebody that they were basically standing behind, someone that they were touting,
and someone
that they really didn't like. And she, all the way back in February, right around Valentine's Day, said that he will be drafted too high for me to have any interest in him. Right now, in single QB, he's going 112.
Wow. So that's probably mid-second.
In super flex, he's going 205.
Wow, yeah.
You will not draft Kenny Gainwell. I will not draft Kenny Gainwell. It's not going to happen.
No.
Even if I like him a little bit more by then because of where he lands, it just means he's going to go higher than he's going now.
Yeah.
So I'm just not going to own him. I think Katie 2 months ago predicted that he was going to be drafted or mocked this high, and he's going to be drafted about where she said. So I literally think the entire group, Gainwell, Carter, Chuba, honestly, dude, they all make up my second tier, but there's also no significant drop from tier two to tier three, and I have like six guys in tier three.
Right.
I just got done telling you that Trey Sermon's seven or eight for me, and he could go to four.
Right.
You know, this group is just all about, honestly, what I would really like is the guys that I like on tape and the guys that I listen to a lot that like these. Like, for example, Katie likes Chuba.
Mm-hmm.
Katie likes Chuba quite a bit, but the draft capital is essential for him. For
yeah,
her.
Yep.
I mean, if he gets drafted later than the fifth round, she's out. And honestly, man, that's kind of where I'm at with all
Katie. And Katie's smart, you know, and like realizes that like that can change a little bit with draft capital.
Of course.
Shows you how the NFL feels about them.
Yep.
So, man, for this next doubt, do you want to go next? Do you want to end it, or
you're going to end it because I only had two touts and you stole one of mine?
That was rude of me.
I only had two and you stole one.
My tout is going to probably, and I'm not trying to trigger anybody. I promise you.
I'm triggered right now. I'm triggered.
I'm not that guy. No gimmicks. I think it's okay to not like Devontae Smith because you think he's a little small for the NFL, and wait and see what's going to happen. I think it's okay to not like allow yourself to fall into traps like we've fallen into with Ruggs in the past and Marquise Brown. Like we go through this every damn year. And it just doesn't always work out. And then, you know, the ones that hit are Tyreek Hill, who's drafted fifth or sixth round in the NFL draft. You know what I mean? So I'm just not willing to go all in with Devontae Smith. I'd rather have Ja'Marr Chase. I'd rather have Marshall fall to me like I've talked about a lot of times on some of our rookie fevers. I'm just not going to jump on Devonta Smith.
I have a 105 in a draft. Single QB. And Smith is my target at 105. I had an offer. It's a first round pick to move back to 109. Now the first round pick is in 2023. That's the part that's not very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But the appealing part is if I fall into the doubt about his size and I'm concerned. I also had traded Chark away in the offseason prior to have the 103. So okay. I'm still gonna get Ja'Marr Chase.
So you have 103 and 105?
Yeah. I'm still gonna get Ja'Marr Chase.
And you know that running backs are going the first two picks?
Absolutely.
And so you can get a 109 and a 2023 first for your 105?
Yep. I
don't hate it.
Yeah, I've already kind of moved on from that with him because I'm not necessarily like, obviously I earned the 105, but that was a little bit of a, I lost Kittle. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I've been a playoff team for the last 5 years. So, and I won it 1 year and went another year. So it's a playoff ready team. So for me to push the can down to 2023, I think is a mistake when I can capitalize with a 103 and a 105. So I kind of want to stay there, but
it's so hard for me to not get out of super flex mindset and think of the talent that's pushed you at 109 in a super flex landscape, whereas I have to think of this one quarterback. So that's probably realistically, like, not to say it again, but if we're talking wide receivers, it probably realistically is your Marshall or somebody like that, maybe Bateman.
Maybe.
So that's probably Bateman, realistically Waddle, what you're doing. So like Marshall and a 2023 third for Smith.
Yep.
And I don't hate it, you know, like, but that's without landing spots. So that's tough, man.
That's the best part. You don't have to make any of these decisions until after landing spots. You really don't.
Yeah.
Cause there's that rookie draft will be a month afterward. So, or 3 weeks, 3 weeks after that rookie draft will be. I'm more excited about ours, where I have 105 and 107 in Superflex. That one. Superflex tight end premium. I have 105 and 107. Where the hell do you go there? Yeah, you know one of them's a quarterback, but
that's nice. So you're probably going to have a quarterback. You could probably get a quarterback, maybe fall to you at both of those with what you were just saying about possibly having 4 to 5 QBs.
Yep. And then 111 in that draft as well, and I probably get, you know, your Marshall, your Bateman, somewhere down that round.
Yeah. Great show today, Feverish. Appreciate you as always. Everybody, be sure to follow at @FF_Spaceman. Follow at Rookie Fever on the Twitter first. Follow me at Swagzilla0G and at ArtBarkTV. I was going to let you do your own, but then it was just like fucking rhyming and it was going smooth.
Yeah, you did that really smooth. Follow me at 0G.
Had to mess it up with swearing during the music.
I was going to do like a spaceman sound effect, like, but see, that doesn't sound like a spaceship, right?
I knew where you were going with it, though, you know, but now like, how would it land? Like, we need him to land and get back here next week. Exciting week. Rookie are going to have landing spots.
Oh, I like that landing. Land that damn ship. Very clever.